Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 636. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, I think is chilling out downstairs. Oh, and just when I thought I was over being feeling ill, which I thought, I'm assuming the bronchitis that I had appeared to be pretty much almost entirely gone. Little phlegm and shit left behind, blowing the nose, doing some cough drops still a little here and there, a little this, a little that, and fun fact, yesterday, Friday, I'm recording this on Saturday, and I think actually something that I ate on Thursday night. You see, Fazoli's here in Washington, Missouri, which I don't know for a fact. This is just a theory. Could have been anything. I think that's something I ate at Fazoli's Thursday night because they're closing in Washington, Missouri. And I've been a customer there for, they've been here for 8 years. And been going there a lot. A lot of my with my mother on Mondays. It's our favorite hang for eats, cheap eats. I mean, you get pasta on the cheaper side. You know, at a place you don't have to have like waiters and waitresses and have to like tip and everything. I mean, it's to me that's a dream come true. Being able to get pasta that easy. I'm a fan of the pasta, and yeah, they're closing down, and so Thursday night. I was like, you know what, because we tried to go there on Monday, my mother and I, and I think COVID's what really killed Fazoli's, because since then, like, they just haven't been able to staff the place well. I mean, maybe their business was on the decline before then, but when COVID hit, you know, they just were unable to seem to regularly staff the place, and they were often closed on many days. They'd be shut down sometimes for a week or two, or they would just shut down the inside and then have like the drive through. And lo and behold, now they're they are officially shutting it down, and Wendy's is going to be going in its place. They've only got like another week left maybe of being open, I'm not sure. And as of what I've seen online, that there's no current opening day for Wendy's. But I could honestly give shit less about Wendy's. They don't have loaded baked spaghetti or fettuccine Alfredo that I'm aware of, you know, unless there's some crossover when they go in there. You're like, you know what? This was doing really well. This one dish. I don't think you get free breadsticks at Wendy's. Just saying, unlimited breadsticks when you go inside. I don't think that's a thing. Motherfuckers. Anyway, I was like, you know what? I missed out on having it because they only had the drive-in open on Monday. And my last experience eating there, the service was bad. I mean, clearly they had a bunch of like newer people. And I guess they just didn't give a shit. I mean, when they knew, which at this point, I didn't know that they were closing down. So I'm thinking the employees are like, well, I don't give a fuck about doing a good job. I'm not going to have a job in a couple of weeks. I get this. Thursday, I was like, you know what? I don't want that to be my last experience because we couldn't even get breadsticks that day. We were there for like 40 minutes or more. And never got a single fucking breadstick. And it took a long time for our food to get out there. And that stuff usually is not a thing at Fazoli's. And then, so I didn't want that to be my last recollection of getting Fazoli's. I'm like, I should go get some Fazoli's out of the drive-thru. And knowing they were closing at this point. I was like, it was already a bad idea. I was tired, and it took over a half an hour sitting in the drive-thru to get any food. As again, I'm sure the employees are like, fuck this. Go fuck yourself. And who knows how many of them were actually working. Well, at least I didn't, going through the drive-thru. I have just a theory that it's something I ate at Fazoli's that was just maybe not something in it that set my stomach off. Because when I went to work the following morning, I didn't feel like sick, but it seemed like my stomach was a little off. Like something was possibly rotten in Denmark. But I have digestion issues. I'm getting old. You know, shit happens. I didn't eat any dairy that day. I went with the spaghetti. I didn't go with the Alfredo. I did have a slice of pizza with it. There was cheese on it, but not a lot of cheese. It was a pepperoni, a pep slice. And, I ate that, and it was just like, yeah, the next day it just felt weird. I wasn't like, oh no, fuck, I've got a real problem here. It was just like, huh. As I was eating stuff through the course of the day at work, like on my breaks, I was like, it almost feels like I'm kind of full. And then I did my normal Fridays. I went out to get Mexican over at Ernesto's. We had a big crew. We had, was there five or six of us? I think there was five. Yeah, we ended up with five. We had a crew. We had Linus, Snacks, John Gale, and Jenny Boy. And who else was there? I'm counting one, two. And Gavin. Gavin was there. Yes, we had it was a good time. I had one margarita. Shouldn't have been an eighth. I have a margarita every fucking Friday. Ever throws off my stomach. I'm pretty sure it didn't have anything to do with anything I ate there because, again, my stomach felt weird at work. Like there was something going on internally. And after leaving Mexican, which we were there for a while, after we left Ernesto's, I stopped at the gas station for my Mega Millions tickets, which, again, not a winner. And some inconsiderate asshole won the big Powerball jackpot the other day. So if I win tonight, it's only going to be like 20 million. Motherfucker. Anyway. I went to the gas station, got my Mega Millions, and, I was going to potentially watch, I've been, you know, watching now for, I guess, a couple of years, the Mythical Morning, Good Mythical Morning, Rhett and Link's, one of their many shows, but their most popular show. And they do, for the Mythical Society, they do the Mythical Evening. Which they do it at least once a year. I think they might do it a couple of times a year. I was like, oh man, I want to join in on this where they're getting down and dirty. And, I skipped out on that. I didn't do that. But it was the release night of Black Ops 6. So, you know, I was, on with my boys after, you know, we had Mexican and whatnot. There was, several of us crewing up and going through some Black Ops 6 and trying to level up some guns. We did multiplayer for a little while and then hopped over to zombies, which initial reaction, it's not bad. I enjoy the zombies. Plural Tool Songs, which is Jambi, I believe, is a character from Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse. In fact, anyway, I was playing zombies and we went for hours and, I noticed, unfortunately, as soon as you die in zombies and you're in those later rounds. As of right now, I think I chose poorly for a weapon. I started with a submachine gun, and I should have gone shoddy. Linus went with the shoddy, and he was just raking in the kills. It was so much easier for him. But him and Gavin went round after round after round, and John and I, like, died fairly early on, I guess. And then every time we come back, the zombies were super fucking hard, and we didn't have any. When you die on there, you don't have your weapons pack a punched anymore, and you lose all your perks. And so you got to go get all that shit again. But you don't have like a time where you can, you have no time. The zombies are already coming out. You got these weapons that aren't doing any damage to them. There's massive hordes. And so you're just kind of fucked once they start coming back. But, I mean, it was the first time playing anyway. So I sat, like, John Boy had his PlayStation 5 was overheating. It was giving him warnings that it was overheating. And so he ended up logging off because he didn't want the PS5 just to catch on fire and, totally destroy it. They're not cheap. So I feel like this is like a ploy because it's like Sony is putting out the PlayStation Pro now for $750. That's just way too much for a fucking console, if you ask me. Just buy a PC at that point. But, you know, I paid way too much for my PS5 when I got it. But it wasn't $750. It was the $400 or whatever the fuck. $750, man. And I don't even play the PlayStation 5 that much. I mainly do a PC. But anyway, as these rounds progressed, and I'm not even playing. I'm just basically waiting for these rounds. The higher the round, you know, the longer the round is, and I'm just spectating, you know, while I'm dead. So I could tell that my stomach was getting in bad shape as it the rounds progressed. I think they were on, I don't even know what round. They were probably on round 30 something by the time I had to go. They were not done when I had logged off. I was like, I could tell that eventually it got to the point where, like, okay, I'm going to puke. And I am the type of person, I hate puking so much, I will fight it till the end. I will not let myself puke. But I could tell it was coming, and there was nothing I could do about it. I was like, I was holding out for a while. I'm like, oh, I wanted to be there to the end of the match of zombies. But it seemed like it might go on for a couple more hours. And I could tell, I was like, oh, I'm going to puke like right fucking now. So I was just like, fellas, I got to get going. And, you know, we did have to work the next morning. And I didn't want to just say, like, I didn't want to say much because, like, urgency was a factor, although I wanted to log out of the game first. because I did not want to puke on my computer and or carpet. And so I was, you know, just fucking worried at that point. I log out of the game and I pretty much ran to the fucking bathroom. I managed to get the door closed behind me and then barely get the seat up on the toilet before I started fucking puking. And it's just like violent puking. I mean, it is heavy, just chunks coming out. And I was puking so hard, my body started shaking. Agent Fox Mulder heard me puking and was like right next to the door meowing. He was concerned. He was very concerned for me. And just bleh, bleh. I puked all over my toilet. And I mean, I puked quite a few times to the point where I had gotten to the like barely any digested food, like had to have been Mexican food, fish tacos. Which does sound like something that might make you sick, but I'm going to say that, like, again, my stomach was off while I was at work. I'm not blaming Ernesto's. Sorry, Fazoli's. Anyway, so as the chunks are flying and I'm starting to get to where it's just like barely digested food and just straight like stomach acid and just that horrid taste in my mouth. And my whole body's shaking. I'm sweating from puking so much. And I'm just like, oh, man, I don't know that I can, like, man, if I feel anything remotely like this in the morning, I'm going to have to call into work. And which I thought we were going to have an easy day at work today. Had I known the workload that we were going to run into, I probably would have just said, all right, fuck it. I'm going to call in because we didn't make a whole lot on the bonus today. And we were only there 6 hours. I probably should have just called in. But I wasn't puking in the morning. I puked at night. My stomach didn't feel great. I didn't eat much at work today, really anything. I barely drank any fluids, which isn't good because, you know, you just get more and more dehydrated. I didn't drink a whole lot last night after puking. I drank a little bit of water, but I was like, man, I don't want to. I skipped on a whole lot of stuff, but I ate like a protein bar at work. Had a little bit of Monster. I had some water. I had a banana before work, and that was like all I had today until not too long before I recorded this podcast. I went to Schnucks and loaded up on some anti-nausea pills. I took one of those, and I got tomato soup, which I used to drink when I was I guess you. I mean, it's just liquid. Dramamine is the pills I took. I don't know. I mean, I've heard of Dramamine. I've never taken it before, so I was like, well, hopefully this. I mean, I feel pretty decent right now, but I got that. I got one of the naked juices where it's like banana strawberry, and it's got a bunch of fruits and stuff all ground up, thrown in a bottle. I did that because I've had experiences with some hangovers many years ago where I would do that after experiencing a hangover, and that really helped replenish my nutrients. I'm pretty sure I haven't puked in like a solid like decade. And I'm pretty sure the last time I ever puked, which I talked about it when it happened on the podcast, was when I ate a pickle in a bag. I'm not exactly sure on what year that was. It may have been a decade, may have been a little shy of a decade here, but it was a good, like, at least 7-8 years ago. I'm thinking possibly longer. But I remember eating a pickle in a bag. I'm a huge pickle fan. I love me a pickle. I love to put pickles in my mouth. I will drink pickle juice all day. And big fan of the dill. I love dill chips and whatnot. But I always thought it was kind of gross seeing the pickles in a bag, because it also reminded me of a sketch on In Living Color that Damon Wayans would do where he was the homeless guy. And he always had like his shit in a jar. And I'm pretty sure it was just like a pickle or something in a jar. Pretty sure he didn't actually shit in a jar. Anyway, it always the pickle in a bag looked kind of like that, which, you know, I don't know why the bag seems so much sketchier to me than, say, a jar, which I will eat pickles out of all day. But something about, especially because it's mainly sold at gas stations, like, ooh, like, give me that pickle in a bag. There's something that just always sounded off to me. But, like, you know, I'd never eaten one. And I had mentioned to the old roommate, Tony, which I think she was a big fan of the pickle in a bag. And there's, of course, the Urge song. I believe Open All Night is the name of it. The St. Louis, legendary St. Louis band, The Urge. The song Open All Night, where there's the greatest line of any Urge song. Where he says, go inside and get my pickle. Go inside and get my pickle. Go into the liquor store. Yeah, go inside. which I feel like he's also mentioning as a euphemism. But, you know, I had assumed that Steve Ewing was a fan of the pickle in the back. I mean, he's got his own hot dog place now. I feel like he probably was a fan of the pickle in the back. And whenever I see the pickle in the bag, not only do I think of shit in a jar, but I also think of the urge, which I love the urge. Go inside and get my pickle. But it was, I think I got it in my head that they were so gross that maybe I induced my sickness. But after I ate the pickle in the bag, I mean, again, it wasn't immediately after. It was a while after I digested it. But it was the only thing I ate that day that was different than I would normally eat. So, again, this is just a theory. But I got sick and puked. Once I puked, I remember I felt much better. But that was the last time I puked. And I used to puke a lot, say in my 20s, when I was doing a lot of binge drinking. I would fight it, though. But there was some times. There were some times. My buddy Jamie Cro-Magnon's house, where we did some beer pong, and I puked multiple times over there. I also puked all over his couch once. I felt pretty good about my long streak of not puking. I should have puked when I went to Russia, though. That was right at 10 years ago now. That was when I went there the first time. Now I had pretty sure food poisoning. I was spraying liquid out of my ass. I felt like, I mean, I should have puked. I fought it off. I should have puked. The puking probably would have made me feel better. I was like, no, can't do it. Can't do it. And, you know, I didn't know the best place to go and get drugs and good stuff to fix myself up at. And I wasn't in the greatest hotel at that point, too. It wasn't the nicest. The last time I went to Russia, I went to a much nicer hotel. I feel like there would have been, felt more comfortable to talk to them hey, I had some stomach issues. Guys, hook me up with some shit. Though, to be fair, the staff at the first hotel, Dimitra Art Hotel, I was at, they were nice and everything. And it wasn't like a rundown hotel or anything like that. It just wasn't as nice. It wasn't the 4-star hotel I stayed at the last time, which I at the top of my head, can't remember that one, but I remember the one I got sick in. But yeah, so I'm still trying, my stomach's still a bit off, but I haven't felt like I'm going to puke, although I feel like maybe I will puke at some point in time again, but I'm trying to slowly consume food, and my stomach's been making noises. I'm just nervous to eat a lot of food. I mean, I've eaten some potato chips. I did, I got some Pringles. They got the slightly healthier chips. Where they got the sweet potato ones that I'm a fan of that I was eating earlier. And I did put a little caution into the wind when I went to Schnucks. I did get hot wings. Though only, I got from the hot wing bar, only two of them are buffalo wings. The other one, and they were good size, I guess. But then I also got, I mainly got the, was it some kind of herb, dry rub herb and something else, which weren't spicy at all. I was I needed some meat, some protein. I needed, man, those wings were good. They were they must have just put them out of the wing bar. I'm glad I did eat those. And right now, I mean, it's been shit, probably close to an hour since I ate those. And they're still inside my stomach. So I'm pretty pleased with that. I am kind of mystified at the fact that I puked a lot last night. I mean, it was all in one. It wasn't like I got up several times and puked more. It was I puked 6 or 7 times. Consecutively. Blah, blah, in rapid succession. And then I didn't puke. I haven't puked since then. I'm still concerned. I still don't feel great. I think mainly it's because I deprive my body of so much nutrients from puking so much. And that, you know, I didn't drink much fluids. That was a big kicker. He's like, I'm dehydrated. And so I feel real off from, mainly, I believe, from being dehydrated. And that's kind of the kicker. I have a little bit of a headache. Well, I did have some ice cream sandwiches and stuff, which is sketchy. I haven't eaten them yet, but I got it. I wanted something frozen and everything to eat to help my stomach. Again, dairy fucks with my stomach, so it's probably not the brightest idea. But, you know, I wasn't feeling well. I'm just making... I do have 7-Up. 7-Up was another thing when I was a kid that anytime I was, like, puking, had an upset stomach, 7-Up was definitely one that I would gravitate towards because it helped get my stuff back on track, if you will. That being said, yeah, I'm surprised that I was somehow today I've managed to shit a couple of times. That is something that is weird to me, and like I feel like I could shit some more. I don't understand that even remotely. Because I puked a lot of stuff up last night. I cannot wrap my head around that even remotely. But you know, I feel like I'm on the mend, but I'm also like, again, just I'm worried to go back and play Call of Duty now. Is it the zombies that triggered the bomb that was going off inside my inside my stomach? You know, was it the abominations? There was a lot of abominations, manglers in there. Is one of their superpowers making people vomit? I mean, I hear people are doing it seeing Terrifier 3, which, you know, Halloween is next Thursday. but, you know, it sounds like Art the Clown has that power. So perhaps the zombies touch something inside me, deep inside me, you know what I'm saying? And just did something very naughty to me. Something real screwy. It's I don't like it. I've just never liked puking. And I mean, I hate. Like, my brain was just getting fucking fried from being sick with what I assumed to be bronchitis. You know, I could deal with that. I was being a real bitch at work. I was being, I mean, I was dealing with it for close to 2 weeks there. And, just, you know, angry, just not enjoying life. And then, next thing I know, you know, when I finally am over that, then I get like, start puking. I'm like, that's just something I can't contend with. Had I been puking, like, you know, in this morning, there's no fucking way I would have went to work. That's one thing I'm just like, nope, no, sir. And I think I'm pretty sure it's something I ate that threw my stomach out of whack. I don't think it's any kind of viral infection or anything. I think I just ate something a bit off. Perhaps some like food poisoning or something of that nature, because, you know, though when I had food poisoning in Russia, that's the only time I'm pretty certain that I really had food poisoning. But like, that was like a full week where my stomach was fucked. I don't want to go for a full week like that. That's just not cool, man. Not cool at all. Man, I really got to fucking replace these headphones. There is a short in them, and it's being a real bitch. It's like I just move a head wrong, and it cuts out. And I replace these wires, and it's not the wires, which is really unfortunate. That being said, though, you know, yeah, hopefully by the time I do the next podcast, I won't be all fucked up. I'll have just better stuff going on. Just feeling better in general. We shall see. As I'm currently trying to find new headphones on Amazon, and I'm going wired. I don't want to pay a fortune. I like these Skullcandy ones I have, which they don't really make anymore. And I want the wired. I don't want to have to charge the fuckers. I just want to plug it into my soundboard and rock out with my cock out and everything, you know? I don't usually have my cock out while I'm recording this. I mean, I love the sound of my voice and all, but it's not really getting me hard. Anyway, yeah. That has been what I've been dealing with, which actually I think I should pause and actually go get some 7-Up. I am kind of feeling dehydrated. All right. I had a couple chips, had some 7-Up, and I had a Snickers bar that I froze that's got pecans in it, which I'm a fan of pecans. I like a good Snickers, although I feel like freezing it and eating it frozen for the first time was not the best way to taste it. I do enjoy a good frozen candy bar, but you know, I don't know how to judge it. I feel like maybe I should have had the first time I tried the pecan one without. I mean, I love good peanuts. Love good peanuts in my mouth. You know what I'm saying? I love good Payday. Man, that's a good bar, especially the one without chocolate. I know you can get it with chocolate now. The Payday with just caramel and peanuts, fucking A, man. Salted peanuts with caramel goodness on the inside. That's that. And it's called Payday. Which, you know, I feel like I'm getting paid with my Payday. Anyway, yeah. I don't feel like I'm going to vomit, so that's a plus. There is something magical to 7-Up and an upset stomach. There is something that happens there. Some kind of witch's brew that, in combination with the stomach acid, that just makes everything right. And it's weird that the only time I ever drink 7-Up, which I pretty much almost never drink soda anymore, but I'll still like pop in and get some 7-Up when my stomach's all fucked up. And it's like, it takes me, that taste, you know, takes me back to being like fucking 8 years old and puking my guts out. but not really the puking so much as doing that and just like, oh, the comfort that envelops me when I digest 7-Up, pour it down my throat. Swallow it. Guzzle the 7-Up. No, I'm not quite guzzling. Guzzling would imply that I'm taking large amounts of 7-Up. I'm drinking small amounts of 7-Up. And to top it all off last night, which I guess I did the last couple nights, but I haven't gotten very far in it because I've been like passing out pretty quickly with it. Netflix just released their new Zodiac special, and I'm just about through the first episode, although I keep falling asleep to it, so I'm not really sure where I left off, honestly. I know at least the first episode talks, I'm guessing it's, I don't know if it's all about Arthur Lee Allen, which was the only suspect, I guess, that the police ever really named was Arthur Lee Allen. Which it did seem, I every once in a while will, watch something on like Zodiac and everything. I'm not like a Zodiac historian by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I remember a little bit about the Zodiac here and there. I mean, whenever I hear a story that, oh, hey, we cracked another cipher, that sort of thing, you know, I like to check into it. Murder mysteries are always, somewhat intriguing to me. You know, I'll watch shit on Jack the Ripper, although I'm pretty certain at this point we'll never know who the fuck Jack the Ripper was. I'm pretty sure the Zodiac will never have 100% smoking gun, but it's fairly enough recent history. I mean, it happened in the 60s, like late 60s, early 70s. That's fairly recent enough to where they would save some of the evidence to where that possibly there is, DNA evidence. Though, I mean, Arthur Lee Allen's dead now. I do believe he has perhaps family, perhaps, that could, match DNA with and shit. But with the Jack the Ripper, I mean, they didn't preserve that shit. I mean, they have, I believe, like stuff from the victims and everything, but that shit's from so long ago. Like, that shit was not protected. Not that in the 60s and the 70s, they still weren't. DNA still wasn't yet a thing. That didn't really happen really until the 90s. Like, I remember the first time hearing that about DNA testing, at least in a trial, was the O.J. Simpson trial. Of course, I was pretty young, but, I mean, that was a big thing about selling it to the jury, was the DNA evidence for the prosecution, which they thought was like, this is concrete evidence. But Simpson's defense just fucking destroyed that shit, because they pointed out how, poorly that the police had collected this DNA and how they believe it was contaminated. And it was new for people to hear about DNA evidence. They didn't really know enough about it to trust it. And so that's why it was so easy for them to discount it in the O.J. Simpson trial. And that was, I mean, that trial went on for a fucking year. But, I mean, we know a lot more about it now. I mean, it's been around for, a couple of decades at this point, is using DNA to catch murder suspects. It's possible that they could still find out who the Zodiac is, but I feel like they would need like new evidence. There's this documentary talks about people that were like related, like Arthur Lee Allen was seeing this woman that had children, and like her children, I believe, and stuff were in this documentary. And he was a teacher, and like he had students that there's at least one or two of them that are in that doc that talk about him and whatnot. Which there's I mean I haven't heard, like, from what I've seen of it so far, I haven't, like, again, from what I recall about Arthur Lee Allen, which, if I remember the Zodiac movie that they put out with Robert Downey Jr., which was, like, what, 15, 20 years ago? It was a while back. That movie, they finger bang Arthur Lee Allen. I mean, they pretty much say he was the killer. Which one of the things they always point to was that he had a Zodiac watch with the Zodiac symbol on it, which I'm guessing wasn't like an insanely popular watch, but I mean, that seems circumstantial at best. But there is some stuff that, I mean, he lived in that area. Apparently he was a big swimmer, and there's the couple that the one I don't remember the name of the couple, but there was the one guy with the glasses that had survived. I think he stabbed them. Yeah, I think that couple he had stabbed a bunch of times, and somehow the guy survived. And it was in this real secluded area. And Arthur Lee Allen was in that area, like, swimming, apparently. But, I mean, there's definitely some stuff that he was at least in the neighborhood for, you know, when these, like, murders took place. But, yeah, I don't know of any, 100% this was the guy. There is some crazy stuff in that first episode, at least, where it talks about his students there in the class that he taught, where he was teaching them ciphers. I mean, that seems, again, also could be circumstantial. I don't know. Maybe the ciphers were a pretty popular thing to talk about in the 60s and the 70s, you know, before people had the internet. I mean, that stuff seems like, okay, this dude was teaching his students how to do ciphers and stuff. That seems, which I don't remember hearing that before. Perhaps I did. But that seems like, oh, man. I guess I can go ahead and read this article here on theindependent.com here. I don't know how accurate their shit is, but who's the Zodiac Killer? A trio of siblings who knew the suspect as children reveal why they think he did it, which I guess this is involved, I guess the ones that I had seen in the documentary course. I feel like I'm going to be spoiling for myself because I haven't seen the whole documentary yet, but this article doesn't seem too ridiculously long. So I guess I can go over that. Because, I mean, this stuff definitely, I mean, it was in time for some true crime. It says, the Zodiac's killer is the most notorious killers of all time. Or one of the most. It's hard to say who the most notorious is. I think that might be Jack the Ripper. I guess if I would say the most. But again, that's a subjective thing. Anywho. But has never been caught. Now a family who knew the prime suspect, Arthur Lee Allen, wave come forward for the first time in the Netflix documentary This is the Zodiac speaking to reveal shocking new information in the case, Andrea Cavalier reports. To the Seawater children, Arthur Lee Allen wasn't just a fun teacher who introduced them to new music and took them on field trips to go to clam digging. He was a father figure. That just sounds weird. Let's go clam digging, children. I mean, it sounds like a euphemism, but he was into, like, diving and, I guess, actual clam digging. So years later, when they found out that police believed he could be the notorious Zodiac Killer who terrorized California with a spate of brutal murders in the 1960s, they did not believe it. Until they asked him, and he confessed, which I haven't gotten to that part, you know. And it was his, the little snippet I saw was like, oh, maybe it was sarcasm. Maybe he's like, fuck you, I want you to believe. Anyway, it says, the explosive claims by Connie, David, and Don Seawater were revealed in the new Netflix docuseries, This is the Zodiac Speaking. The siblings also claim that they later discovered that while accompanying him on those field trips, he was either scoping out a killing site or even committing a murder. We realized we had been to all the murder sites before the murders. Okay, that's pretty fucking damning. That is pretty fucking damning. David Seawater says in the docuseries, during the siblings' first time speaking out publicly about the case, in one memorable outing to, oh boy, I'm going to mispronounce this, Tahigua's Point in 1963. Tahigua's? I think I'm saying that right. Connie Seawater recalled how Allen left her with her brothers in his car for about an hour and then suddenly appeared with what appeared to be blood on his hands. The next day, teenagers Robert Domingos, 18, and Linda Edwards, 17, were found shot to death on the same area of the beach. Their murders have never been solved. In the 1960s, five people were murdered and confirmed to be victims of the Zodiac Killer, who sent taunting ciphers to reporters and threatened to kill more people if the messages weren't published in the front page of San Francisco newspapers. Police have only ever publicly identified Allen as a suspect in the case, but they never found enough evidence to charge him. Who was Arthur Lee Allen, the suspected Zodiac Killer? Arthur Lee Allen was an elementary school teacher who was popular among his students. As Agent Fox is, you got some thoughts on Arthur Lee Allen, buddy? No? What, do you think he was the Zodiac? Good talk. Anyway, in the docuseries, one former student, Darwin Alvord, recalled how Allen would teach them how to decipher codes, which were eerily similar to the elaborate codes that the Zodiac... Don't go attacking me. Don't go attacking me. Don't be the Zodiac. Don't... Yeah, you lay on that laptop, buddy. You do that. Anyway, which were eerily similar to the elaborate codes that the Zodiac Killer later used in his letters. Another student remembered how Allen would play music from the Mikado, a comic opera, during lessons, songs that the Zodiac Killer's letters would quote years later. And please don't lay on the keyboard. Here we go. You can fuck up the recording here, buddy. Dude, come on, man. You're making shit weird on the computer screen. Where's the, now you got me, kitty. You got me, Fox. Where I lost my place because you were zooming in and out on the webpage. damn it. As these headphones keep cutting out. Yeah, they were eerily soon. Yeah. The Zodiac Killer's letters would quote years later. Blah, blah, blah. The student spoke highly of the former teacher, but years later recalled the disturbing way he would call the girls in his class, "My beautiful." That's, yeah, a little fucking weird, man. The Seawater children were also students of Allen's, but he soon became a fixture at family dinners after becoming close with their mother, who had been left to raise several children while their father was in a psychiatric hospital. Field trips and murder confessions. Connie Seawater and her brothers remember their time with Allen as a happy one. He often whisked them away on weekend jaunts that took the children all over the state. I was having a great time. We were left in that car for an hour, and then he came back with blood all over him from presumably a murder. Damn, that was a fun field trip. Anyway. But years later, when Connie saw the 2007 film Zodiac, so not quite 20 years ago, she realized they had been to all of the sites where Zodiac murders took place. "There was so much in that movie that was scary familiar," she says in the docuseries. "Like on June 4th, 1963, when they traveled to Tahiguas Point, where Domingos and Edwards were murdered. In 1996, Connie, who was a freshman, remembers going to the racetrack in Riverside on October 28th, 1966. Oh, yeah, this is a... I thought it was like 90... I think they meant to say 1966. She remembers going to the racetrack in Riverside on October 28th, 1966. While her brother slept in the hotel, she recalls that Allen took her on a tour of Riverside City College campus. My phone's doing some crazy shit. Turn that sucker on silent. It's on silent now. Sorry, I'm freaking out the cat too. Campus pudding under Oh, shit. Okay, yeah. While her brother slept in the hotel, she recalls that Allen... Man, quit hitting the mouse. Recalls that Allen took her on a tour of Riverside City College campus, at one point putting his hand down her pants and sexually assaulting her. That's pretty fucked up. When they return to the hotel, her brother still wouldn't wake up, and she recalls drinking juice before falling asleep. The next thing she remembers is being led back to the car on October 31st, Halloween. Allen later confessed to drugging the siblings in Riverside. On October 30th, a woman named Sherry Joe Bates was found dead on the grounds of Riverside City College campus. No connection between her murder and the Zodiac Killer was ever found, and the case has never been solved. So that was the day before that he drugged these two. It doesn't mean that he did murder, but shows, you know, some character flaws. I mean, that he's a horrible person. Before Allen died, he was extensively questioned about his possible role in the killings. He served 3 years in prison for child molestation charges. During this time, there were no murders linked to the Zodiac Killer, and no letters were sent to the press or police. Connie, who had moved away and started a family... Oh, please stop attacking me. It's weird talking about my cat stop attacking me while I'm talking about the Zodiac. Anyway, Connie, who had moved away and started a family, returned to California and visited the man she had named her, daughter after. She said in the docuseries that she now believes that Allen hinted that he was the Zodiac Killer. 91, while out sailing with Allen, she asked him if he was the Zodiac Killer, but he said if he told her, then he'd have to kill her. I thought it was a big joke. It sounds like a joke. Her brother David, however, said he got a full confession out of Allen in 1992, shortly before his death. Allen broke down sobbing on the phone as he confessed to drugging them as kids and molesting his sister Connie. When David asked him if he was the Zodiac Killer, Allen, still crying, said that he was. To think that somebody I once loved and trusted was capable of doing something like that freaked me out, David said. He called the police, who told them him there was nothing they could do, and then he called his mother, who laughed and said that Allen was a jokester. The Seawater siblings say their mother never believed Allen could be the Zodiac Killer or a child molester. However, when she died in 2017, they found a box with letters between her and Allen in which he talked about the Zodiac. Allen died on August 26, 1992. He is 58 years old. In his last letter, he denied being the Zodiac Killer. Since Allen's death, there have been no additional Zodiac murders, but, I mean, I don't believe there was, like, before he died, you know, a good reasonable time between. Yeah, anyway, the Zodiac Killer's victims. There are 5 confirmed murders of the Zodiac Killer that happened in California between 68 and 69, and 2 survivors. The targets were predominantly young couples. In letters written to the police and to the press, the killer admitted to at least 37 more murders. On December 20th of 1968, David Arthur Faraday, 17, and Betty Lou Jensen, 16, were found shot to death on Lake Herman Road in Benicia, California, known as Lover's Lane. In a similar attack on July 4th of 69, Michael Renault Maguire, 19, and Darlene Farron of 22 were shot while sitting in Farron's car in Blue Rock Springs Park in Vallejo. Survived. Terrible at these pronunciations. The Vallejo Police Department later got a call from a man claiming responsibility for the killings and also took a credit for the Faraday-Jensen murders. And on July 31st of 69, the killer sent messages to San Francisco newspapers marking the beginning of the Zodiac letters. Just weeks later, on September 27th, Brian Hartnell, 20, and his girlfriend Cecilia Shepard, 22, were stabbed to death while on a picnic at Lake Berryessa. A man wearing a medieval executioner-style hooded garb attacked the couple and tied them up before stabbing them multiple times, according to Hartnell, who survived the attack. And October 11th of that year, Paul Stein, a 29-year-old cab driver, was shot to death after picking up a passenger in San Francisco and taking him to Presidio Heights, about 30 miles from where the other murders occurred, when he was shot in the back of the head. His murder wasn't connected to others until the Zodiac sent a letter with a bloody patch of Stein's shirt to the San Francisco Chronicle. Stein would be the Zodiac's last confirmed victim, though taunting letters to the media continued until 1974. The Zodiac killer is believed to be connected to a slew of other victims, including the 1963 slayings of Robert Domingos and Linda Edwards, in which the Seawater siblings claimed to have been with Allen nearby when it happened, and the death of 18-year-old Sherry Jo Bates in Riverside in October of 66 when the Seawater children were in town with Allen again. It goes to his messages. Four ciphers that were sent out to the Bay Area newspapers over the years were believed to be the key to tracking down the killer. Some have been decoded. Others remain a mystery. In 2020, one of the most puzzling messages, known as the 340 cipher, was solved. I hope you are having lots of fun in trying to catch me. That wasn't me on the TV show, which brings up a point about me. I am not afraid of the gas chamber because it will send me to paradise, the note read. All the sooner because I now have enough slaves to work for me where everyone else has nothing when they reach paradise, so they are afraid of death and I'm not afraid because I know that my new life life will be an easy one in paradise, death. Two ciphers remain uncoded, but authorities have said they're not sure if they'll ever be able to unravel the mysterious messages, which I thought they had, like, all of them now. I mean, I guess not, because this is a recent article. But I thought, like, all the ciphers were good to go. But apparently not. Apparently I was wrong. Ugh. So, yeah. I'm interested, though basically I just fucking spoiled the whole docuseries. But I'm still going to watch it. It's a different thing to read a synopsis and then to hear it. I want to hear the guy talk about Arthur Lee Allen confessing. I don't know what, and also those letters that he apparently wrote to the Seawater children's mother. I'm quite curious about this, but there's also that TikToker that is convinced that his grandfather was the Zodiac. And, I don't believe that fella ever fucking admitted to being the Zodiac. But I mean, it seems like he was in the area and there is some evidence that would suggest perhaps he was, could have been. Well, I don't know. We'll see. Well, I mean, I guess we won't see, if there's no smoking gun, if they don't find the gun that shot that cab driver, which I presume they probably still have that bullet. I would assume that gun's long gone. I would think that if they had, these children had any, or well, they're adults now. If these people that were sort of raised by Arthur Lee Allen, that were like the one being molested by him, and the fuck, they're both being drugged. I would imagine if they had any concrete evidence to really show that he was the fucking Zodiac, that we would have already heard about it. That would have been the kicker in this docuseries. So unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever have a definitive answer. But who knows? Who knows? I mean, there was the Golden State Killer. We didn't know who that was for like 20 years. It took 20 years or more to finally catch that motherfucker, but it was I remember when that happened in the 70s, and then sometime in the 2000s that he was fucking arrested, and I mean, they did find his ass. As Agent Fox Mulder here is looking like he's really gonna go bite me here in a second. It should be noted he was really cool to me last night while I was puking. I mean, he was seemed really concerned. He laid out by the bathroom door while I was in there puking. And then when, I did lay down soon after that for brushing my teeth and trying to drink a little bit of water and whatnot. He laid on me like all night. And actually, I feel kind of bad because I had a dream at work. He was, again, laying on my legs, like in between my legs. And I had a dream that at work, my friend John was hitting me with a piece of web like between my legs. And I grabbed the piece of web, the piece of steel with my legs. And in real life, you know, my body was grabbing the cat with my legs and kind of squeezing him. And thankfully, I realized real quickly, I believe, because I realized, oh, shit, I'm squeezing the cat like Xenia Onatopp style. And even after that, you know, he jumped down, but I patched him real good and got him back on. And he laid on me and, like, he stayed there, like, the whole night. He knew that I wasn't feeling well. Even though I unintentionally almost killed him. I mean, I don't think I almost killed him. I don't think it was very long. I squeezed him, but I don't think it was that hard. I don't think I Xenia Onatopped him quite to that, you know. I wasn't, I'm not a Bond villain. Maybe that was another dream. But I mean, he laid there within like all morning. And most of the time, like he'll lay on me on most nights, but like he'll get up throughout the night. And then, like, by the morning, he's usually just chilling out downstairs. But, like, all night, he was there. He was by my side. He's like, probably afraid I was going to die. Like, man, I heard what you were booting up in there. It was coming out of your body. And I just want to make sure you're not dead. Zodiac's not in there, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's okay, buddy. It's okay. It's all good, buddy. You don't have to worry. I got 7 up now. I have 7 up. You're not getting any, but I have 7 up. He did get pretty excited when I opened up that 7 up bottle. But again, I'm not giving the cat 7 up. That's fucking weird. Probably not good for him. Although maybe he has an upset tummy too. Maybe he's got the same. Maybe we ate the same thing somehow. He got into the trash, ate some of that Fazoli's. His stomach is off now, too. I did not give him any Fazoli's. I just want to point that out. Yeah, that's pretty much all I've got. I'm going to, I guess, go drink some more 7 Up and then go clean the shit box that Agent Mulder here has got going on. So I guess, as always, that, sir, is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.